Well, good morning, Harvest family.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're here. We're really excited about the services today. So we'll have a baptismal service at the end of our service this morning as Miss Ashley Ruby follows the Lord in believers' baptism. We're so excited, looking forward to that as well. Be praying for our children's church. We'll be dismissed a little bit later. Hopefully more kids will come in. But we're so glad you're here this morning. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings, and our choir will bless us with an opening song. Lord, we do love you so much, and thank you for your goodness, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship, Father, an opportunity that we can come together as a church family and worship and praise you. We thank you for those here at Harvest over this past several months that have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and followed the Lord in believers' baptism and another one today. Father, we are so grateful. We pray that you continue to bless and work in the lives of our growing church family and our young couples, Lord, and help us, Lord, as we mentor and encourage, Lord, and help them as they grow in their Christian life. And now, Father, bless today. May we lift our hearts in voices and song as we prepare to worship the King. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon our giving this morning. Brother John Draper, if you ask God's blessings on our tithes and offering.
Gracious Heavenly Father, this is the day that the Lord has made. We're glad and glad in it. Father, thank you so very much for the many blessings. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all that is here. Lord, pray that you would bless the giver and the offering. And Father, thank you for the blessing that we're able to be able to give back a small portion of that that you have so bountifully given us. We ask this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we go to the Lord in prayer, please pray for our services today, as well as leadership of our church, our men, and our families, that God would bless and work on each of our lives. But in particular, of course, please help. Ask the Lord to help me today with the preaching. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so truly grateful for the privilege and opportunity to come before thy throne. And Father, as we come before thy throne, we do request, Father, we do beseech you, Father, that you do what only you can do. I pray that you would work in the hearts and the lives of everyone that's represented here today. I thank you for those who are here today with bended knee and bowed head and going before the throne of grace and asking God to work and to help their pastor in the preaching and teaching of his word. I thank you for those who are working in the children's ministry, in the nursery, to make it possible for moms and dads to be a part of a ministry that can hear the preaching and teaching God's word, and where boys and girls could hear the gospel and Bible stories told, where they can understand it on our level. And Father, I pray that you'd work in the hearts and the lives of our people as our church grows, that more might have a desire to be involved in helping with the nursery, helping in children's ministries and other aspects as we minister and train the younger generation in preparation for the future. Father, I thank you for the men of Harvest Baptist Church, and I pray that you put a hedge about them and protect them from sin. Protect them from physical harm and distress, Father. Pray that you guard their minds, guard their eyes, and guard their ears, guard their tongue. And Father, to help them to be exactly what you would have them to be, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd be with our ladies and our children, Father. Oh, how gracious and privileged we are to have such gracious ladies in our church that desire to be that Proverbs 31 woman. We pray that you bless them to guard their hearts and their tongues and their minds, Father, as they strive to serve you by serving others. And then, Father, I pray that you would help me this morning. I pray that you give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Father, to preach the word without apology, Father, but also obedient as you lead and guide my mind and my time in prep for study. And now, Lord, I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved. May today be their day of salvation. May that one is questioning and not really sure where they would spend eternity, may they reach out and say, I want to know. And then, Father, there's anyone here today that has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, but yet has not taken that first step of following the Lord in believer's baptism or becoming a part of Harvest Baptist Church, that you administer to their heart, if this is where you would have them to serve, that they might ask and approach me and Miss Michelle and our deacons, Lord, that this is their desire to be here. Father, just work and do again and do a work that only you can do,
and we'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. For we ask these things in the precious, wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Have your Bibles this morning. We're going to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles 16. We'll read verses 7 through 12. And a little later, I'll come back during the preaching, and we'll go back and read another section of Scripture in the previous chapter. So keep your finger there. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We'll begin reading in verse number 7 before we have our special music. Chapter 16 and verse number 7. And at that time, Hananiah came to Asa of Judah and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the kings of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely upon the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And Asa, referring to the king, was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house. And for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah in Israel. And Asa, in 39 years of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but only physicians.
Standing on the mountain, holding to the shepherd's hand. The valley you just came through was hard to understand. The shepherd draws you closer. There's something he wants you to see. And he points back to the valley and explains its mysteries. As the eagles soar above you and you look back on where you've been, one by one he answers questions that he did not answer then. He shows you the danger of going your own way, and all those roads you thought were better would lead your soul astray. He reminds you of the moment when you could not make it through. Now you see one set of footprints where he reached down and carried you. As the tears fall down his shoulder and you thank him for his love, he said, "Child, I knew that one day you'd see this valley from above. Things look different on the mountain from the shepherd's point of view. Standing shepherd's point of view. All the valley's disappointments will never look the same to you. Things look different on the mountain from the shepherd's point of view.
Thank you, Michelle. If you with your Bibles, we're going to go back to chapter number 15 and read a couple passages of Scripture. I want us to look back at chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles, we'll read verses 1 through 19 in just a moment. From the passage that we've just read, from what we just read, would you say, I'm not saying what you know in your mind, but just what I read, would you say Asa was a good king or a bad king? Bad. But in reality, he wasn't. And we're going to go back at chapter 15 and read why we can see. And what we need to realize, good people make bad choices. Sometimes good people make bad decisions. But the key is when we realize that we make a bad decision, what we do from there going forward. Some of you may remember the old game show, Truth or Consequences. That's the title of my message this morning. For you younger generations never heard of it, don't worry, the message has nothing to do with the game show. But there was a game show called Truth or Consequences. But let's look back at chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles and verses 1 through 19. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Obed, and he went to meet Asa and said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, and while ye be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Now for a long season, Israel had been without a true God, without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nations was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. And be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abomination idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which were taken of Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all of Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. And for they fell unto him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Israel in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord, whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel, should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and was shouting with trumpets and with cornets. And all of Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with their hearts, and sought him with their whole desire, that he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest about. And also concerning Micaiah, the mother of Asa, pay attention, the king, he removed from her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect in all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war until the 5th and 13th year of the reign of Asa. You see, the northern kingdom never had a revival up to this point. They had 19 kings, and all were bad. Of the 20 kings over Judah, 10 of them could be called good, and 5 would be considered outstanding. And these men were Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joash, Hezekiah and Josiah. Asa is the first king who saw revival in his reign. Now, looking at our story, we see that Asa has forgotten about the covenant he had made in the previous chapter that we just read. It says, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, back in chapter 15. This is where problems began. Yes, Asa was a good king, and good people and good leaders do make bad choices. It is what we do after that we realize the bad choices that we make that makes the difference. We honor God and we make things right, or we face the consequences of our rebellious actions. Just because you get right with God does not mean that you can coast until the rapture or into death. As Christians, we must not only realize who is in control, but we must also not forget, lest we too find ourselves in an awkward or compromising position. So may I submit to you this morning that every Christian should respond correctly to the truth or when the truth comes out. Every Christian should respond correctly to the truth or when the truth comes out. Asa had done very well. He was a good king. He saw revival. But when something else came out, some truth came out from the seer here, that Asa got wroth with the seer and cast him into prison. He responded very differently than he did with the previous prophet in chapter 15. So why should every Christian respond correctly to the truth or when the truth comes out? Number one this morning, just 2 points. Number one, because denying or running from the truth will compound your problem. Denying or running from the truth will compound your problem. You're just kicking it down the road. You're just putting it off to another day, allowing it to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. First of all, letter A, Asa took it out on the preacher in verse number 10, or the seer. And Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was enraged with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same day. We can take out our problems on other people. If you've ever raised children, you probably had a teenager or two that blame mom or dad for their misery and their choices that they have made. No matter who that leadership is, don't take it out on them. In our story, it just happens to be the prophet or the preacher. In other words, don't shoot the messenger and don't get mad at those in authority, those in leadership, the preacher, the teacher, the evangelist, the missionary, your mentor, your mom or dad, or in another case, someone maybe who's discipling or encouraging you. Make sure and be appreciative of those that preach the whole counsel of God. Don't drag others into your sin problem. Don't blame someone else on your sin problem. Passing the buck is not a biblical solution. I think it started back in Genesis. It was a woman thou gavest me, Lord. We can trace passing the buck all the way back to the book of Genesis. Problem is, maybe if Adam had been where he should have been or been instructing and talking with his wife after he talked to the Lord, she would have known a little bit better. But needless to say, here we are today. Asa took it out of the preacher. Letter B, Asa got in the flesh. And here's what leads to a lot of problems. See, the flesh will cause you to try and cover up or hide your sin. See, when you get in trouble and you do something you shouldn't do, when you look around to see who's looking, that's the flesh. That's the flesh. Who recognized what I'd done? How am I going to cover myself? See, acting like everything is okay does not mean that it is. I think there's an old children's song or song that goes something like, everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. Yeah, there is. Everything may be right in my Father's house, but what about your house and your situation? Are we singing one tune, but yet we know in our hearts and our mind that we are in the flesh and have not responded correctly? Just because you can sing it doesn't make it true. We need to realize that when the truth does come out, we need to make sure that we do not cover it out, because denying or running for the truth will compound your problem. Asa took it out on the preacher. Asa got in the flesh. Let her see. Sin always produces consequences. There is always consequences. You've heard me say it. You can pick your nose, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your punishment. There was a time in my life and raising my kids and me and raising my mom and dad, there was a case that I got to pick my consequence. But we don't pick consequences with God unless he gives us. He's allowed some other situations and stories in the Bible where he's allowed David and others to choose, but David always went to the Lord and said, Lord, you choose. Verse 9 tells us, for the eyes in our text of the Lord in chapter 16 run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, referring to Asa. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. His consequences from trying and responding the wrong way is told that you will continue to have wars. Now, let me tell you something. I know that we serve a forgiving God. There's no question about it. And I believe after a while, if Asa would have said, I surrender, Lord, no more, I can't do this, I want to make it right, I believe those wars would have ended. I believe some of the consequences may have changed because we serve a loving and giving God. But Asa did not do that. Not only that, I believe our Lord, I know our Lord knew that he would not. So you might hide your sin problems with others, but never with God. Remember the example I've given before just a few moments ago? We look to the right, we look to the left, make sure no one saw. We never look up, do we? God always sees. See, get right when sin is exposed before the consequences begin to compound. Notice verse 12 and verse 13. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 40th year of his reign. Folks, there's nothing wrong with seeing a doctor, but you sure ought to be talking about the Lord about it, right, Dr. Mel? Well, you should be talking to the Lord about it and not just looking for other people that might be able to help. Amen. But also notice, sin always not only produces consequences. In reference to that, you might hide your sin, but you can't get away with it, but others may also suffer. When we try to cover our sin, hide our sin, or don't deal with it, or don't address it when things that we have been involved in is wrong, and others may suffer the consequences. Look at verse number 10. Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and he put him in a prison house, for he was enraged with him because of this thing. That wasn't it. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. He just didn't get mad at the seer, but he also took it out on others within his kingdom. Maybe others that were in his inner circle, but needless to say, he took it out on others as well. We as believers must respond to the truth correctly or when the truth comes out. Why? Because denying or running from the truth will compound your problem. And number two, because it will keep you sensitive to the ways of God. Responding the right way, whether you do it immediately or do it later, but as long as you do it, it will keep us sensitive to the ways of God. And that should be our biggest concern. See, Asa lost his sensitivity to the ways of God and turned to man to solve his problems. Look at verses 1 through 3 and verse number 12. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might not let none go out or come in into Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and sent it to Abinadab, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, there is a league between ye and me, and me and thee, and there was my father and thy father. Behold, I have set thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. We'll pick up in verse 12 in just a moment. But that's not what he did in chapter 15. So now, instead of trusting and leaning upon the Lord to deliver him as he did in chapter 15, now he's buying mercenaries and other armies to help him out. In verse number 12, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to physicians. See, Asa looked to others and not God. The simple answer on the why is because he lost his sensitivity to the ways of God. Dear friends, we must remember this book, this Bible, the Word of God, has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What works during the time of Asa and the seer and Peter and Paul and John, all the ministry, still works today. We must learn and realize that we are not to be so much concerned of what man says or how man responds, but what does God say? What does God's word say? Sometimes it can be very difficult. I'll use myself as an example. Some of you are going to say, well, preacher, you were pretty hard on your kids. Three daughters and a son. I've shared the illustration once when I took the door off the hinges of one of my daughters because she kept slamming it. Now she has nothing to slam. Left it off the hinges for several days. But you know, there's been other times when they weren't right and there was a struggle. And by the way, if you raise teenage kids and you're honest, they do throw temper tantrums. They do get a little bit beside themselves and frustrated at times, maybe a little sideways. But you know, there was times when I knew my kids weren't right. And I knew we had some disagreement, and I would give them some leeway to come to me or come to their mother and make things right, and they didn't, or they weren't ready to, or they would not. And they were scheduled to sing, and because I'm the pastor, guess what? They didn't sing. And I would tell them, I'm sorry you're not singing today. I know your heart's not right. You know your heart's not right. How are you going to stand up there hypocritically and sing and try to be a blessing to God's people? 9 out of 10 times, I hate to say it this way, they agreed, said you're right, and still didn't make it right, and they didn't sing. But eventually they would come around. On other occasions, they would want to make it right. I really believe in this principle. Folks, why minister? Why stand up before people? Why do what you can to minister when you know in your heart you're harboring sin, you've done something you shouldn't, you didn't respond correctly? Why not just get it out, make it right with the Lord, make it right with all those who are involved, and say, I'm going to go forward and serve with joy, with no guilt or concern to what somebody might say or think. Asa lost his sensitivity to the ways of God and turned to man to solve his problems. Letter B. If you respond right to sin, when the truth does come out, it will keep you sensitive toward the things of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 16 through 19, back with Asa. And by the way, Asa was a good king in chapter 15. He was still a good king in chapter 16. He just made some bad choices. God still recognized him as a good king, though he died, as far as we know, of not returning to the Lord. But he did some great things that God used him at. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 16 through 19. And also concerning Micaiah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol, stamped it, and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect in all of his ways. And he brought into the house of God the things his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 5th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. In chapter 15, he was bringing wealth to the house of God. In chapter 16, he was buying mercenaries. What a change that took place, all because he lost his sensitivity to the things of God and the ways of God. Dear friend, again, every Christian must respond correctly to the truth or when the truth comes out. Why? Because denying or running for the truth will compound your problems. And number two, because it will keep you sensitive to the ways of God. Christian, have the courage to trust God and respond quickly to what God would have you to do biblically. God will give you the courage if you respond quickly. The longer we put it off, the longer we step away from it, the longer we do that, the longer the devil has to discourage us or to make us comfortable, see, nothing has happened, just let it lie. But we need to respond quickly. A couple of closing thoughts and we'll be done this morning. How to respond to God's exposure to your sin. How to respond to God's exposure to your sin. Number one, be big enough to admit that you're wrong. Step one. This may not be necessary order, but it's how I have it down. Be big enough to admit that you're wrong. Number two, respond quickly, as I previously mentioned. Don't wait. Number three, seek God's forgiveness and others that may have been affected. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Absolute. All we have to do is go before him. Number four, seek the biblical solution that God would have you to do. And by the way, biblical solution and God go hand in hand. A solution doesn't mean it's the right solution. Is it a biblical solution in doing the right thing? Number five, as already mentioned, again, because it's so important, make it right quickly. Not only respond quickly, but if you don't respond quickly and you come around to your senses, make sure you make it right quickly. As long as we live here on earth, we are going to have the battle of the flesh. We are going to face the aspect of choosing truth or facing the consequences with our Lord. And the best thing that we can ever do, no matter how embarrassing it is, no matter how hard it is, to embrace truth, respond biblically, as God would have us to say, as opposed to receiving the consequences. Man, it grieves me, and it grieves me every time I read chapter 15 and 16. How the change of a good king, an outstanding king, doing all that is right, even speaking up against his mother, the queen, and saying, "Mom, no, that's wrong. We're not going to serve these idols. I spoke to the prophet. I spoke to the seer. He has challenged me. God is guiding me. It's out of here." But something somewhere along the way, he loses his sensitivity in the next chapter. And by the way, the next seer or prophet there in the kingdom. Something changed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's all stand together if you would. Pianist will make her way to the piano and begin playing as soon as she's ready. This morning, I know it's not a message on salvation, but if there's anyone here today that would say, "Preacher, I hear what you're saying, but I don't even know the Lord to go to him or to hear him." Maybe you need to come and pray or talk to me and say, "I'd like to know where I'd spend eternity. I'd like to be born again and know that I'm on my way to heaven." Maybe there's a Christian here today that has lost their sensitivity to the ways of God. Maybe you're facing some consequences in your life because God is working on you. Maybe God is punishing you. He is working you over because of some choices you made. All he wants you to do is to make it right, to confess it before him, and allow him to help you through the rest of the process. Whatever your case may be this morning, why not come and just give it to the Lord? I thank you, Lord, for the message. Oh, Lord, help me to keep my sensitivity. Lord, help me to correct my sensitivity toward the things of God that I might make things right. Whatever the case may be in your life, why not come and join those who may already be here praying? But you do exactly what the Lord would have you to do. Father, bless this time of invitation. Have your will and way. May people respond to this guidance and this Holy Spirit in their life. We ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. If God has spoken to your heart, you move now. Facing some consequences, why not say, "Lord, help me to turn this around. Help me not to lose my sensitivity. Help me to regain my sensitivity and might respond correctly, the way that would be pleasing unto my Heavenly Father." Maybe you're going through some situations right now. Maybe you're going through some hardship and some challenges in your life. Ask the Lord to help you to keep your sensitivity to the things of God, to make biblical choices, biblical responses, and not of the flesh. Our minds are clear. You can have a seat. Miss Ash. Can you see, brother? It's so good to have the privilege to not only baptize Austin earlier, husband, and now the wife, And so good to see them growing in the Lord and doing discipleship together. And so on your profession of faith, my sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, married in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. All right, brother, just real quick, just to remind you, of course, baptism has nothing to do with salvation. It's an ordinance of a local church. And we follow the Lord in baptism after we trust Christ as our Savior. In other words, old enough to understand the actions that we are taking. It's our first step of obedience. As many of you already know, but some that may be new to Harvest or new to church, as you stand there in the water, basically, as you're baptized, you're representing the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture of what's taking place in your life as you trust Christ as your personal Savior. So I would encourage you to think about it. If you've never been scripturally baptized, in other words, once you put your faith and trust in Christ, you've repented of your sins, you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that first step of obedience is following the Lord in believers' baptism, and of course being part of a good local New Testament church. So we're so glad you're here. I really do wish I could fill the baptistry every week. But we'll wait as the Lord tarries and works, we'll see more. And if the Lord tarries his return, and I have good health, there's a few more in the family I'd like to baptize. Amen. Amen, Austin. Amen. 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 All right, let's all stand together. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. And please make your way by, Brother Austin. I want you all to stand up here. Michelle, I want you to go ahead and stand with them. And you guys, folks, go back and congratulate her on her first step of obedient faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll make my way to the back. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon as we just depart today. Don't forget our evening service.